yeah, I tried. I guess I slept. I don't know. Yeah, that was also kind of foggy. But they each kind of took turns laying with me and just like rubbing my back. And Sarah was amazing. Just, I don't know what it was about her touch, but she was just so comforting every time she like rubbed my back or like touched my shoulder. Just everything was like so comforting. It was really nice. And Julie really helped me with breathing into my contractions. I felt like I was kind of like trying to hide, like run away from them or like avoid them. And she was having me breathe into them. And that was really helpful and relaxing. And I definitely, yeah, was able to calm down a bit and get some rest that night.
I'm Angela, and you're listening to My Main Birth, a space where we share the real life stories of families and their unique birth experiences in the beautiful state of Maine. From our state's biggest hospitals to birth center births and home births, every birth story deserves to be heard and celebrated. Whether you're a soon-to-be mom, a seasoned mother, or simply interested in the world of birth, these episodes are for you. Today's birth story guest is Shandi, and she shares all about her main birth story. She originally planned for a birth center birth at Holly No. 7 in Bangor. Then she changed her plan and began preparing for a home birth at her home in Trenton. Ultimately, after a long labor, she transferred to Maine Coast Memorial Hospital in Ellsworth, where she gave birth to her baby. Hi, Shandi. Welcome to My Maine Birth.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Awesome. So to get started, will you share a little bit about you and your family?
Yeah. So it is my husband, Fletcher, and I, and our almost seven-month-old son, Finn, and we have a dog, a six-year-old Labradoodle, Coda, and we live in Trenton, Maine, kind of near MDI, Ellsworth area. I'm from Massachusetts, been here for about 10 years this year, and my husband grew up outside of Bangor, so we've been together for about 10 years, married too, and yeah, we just had our son, Finn, last summer, so yeah, and right now, my husband, he's a carpenter, caretaker out on the MDI area, and I gardened all the way up until I gave birth, and just kind of stay at home, book appointments for an osteopath in Ellsworth, so gives me a little something to do during the week, but a nice flexibility. So
cool. Well, will you start by sharing a little bit about when you first found out you were pregnant and sort of your thoughts in choosing your care?
Yeah. So kind of leading up to it, I've had amenorrhea for the last 7 years leading up to it. I had some Lyme disease issues. And during that time, I came off of my birth control, which I had been on since I was like 14. And so like, yeah, over 10 years of that. And I just never got my period back. So it was something where I was just like, we weren't planning on having kids. Didn't really, you know, in my 20s, didn't really think too much about it. I would talk with my doctors if I had an appointment, like mention it. And most of them just kind of like brush it off. Like, oh, that's normal. That's fine. Like, if you feel fine, like nothing's wrong. And I did see some naturopaths and kind of the same thing, like not too much concern. So I was just like, well, okay, great. Like, I don't have to deal with my cycle. We don't really have to think about it. And, but like the last few years, I've been more kind of like, this doesn't feel right. Like it doesn't feel right to not be having it, my cycle. And I started working last summer two summers ago now with Sarah Tui. She is an acupuncturist in Southwest Harbor. And we were doing some acupuncture and herb tinctures that she would make for me. And I got really busy with gardening and kind of like fell out towards the end of the summer with her. And I also worked part-time with an osteopath. So I kind of reached out to him, or we were just talking about it, and this was more in September that year, and he was like, "Oh, well, we could, you know, try some things, do some." He does like cranial sacral manipulation, and so he said we could do a little work there, and again do some herbs, kind of very similar blend of herbs that Sarah was having me on. And so that was in September of 2022, and we maybe had like two sessions that month. And then in October, it was like mid-October, like 15th on the dot, and I got my period for the first time. And it was this like little exciting moment, like, oh, okay, I'm not broken, or however I was feeling. It only lasted for like 24 hours. That was it. But it was still like, okay, like things are functioning. It felt good. And kind of just continued with the herbs. And we did have a conversation like, okay, like maybe now we should be more careful. It's been something we hadn't had to think about for a while. And come November, didn't get my period back, just kind of assumed like, well, it's, you know, back to what it was, and that's okay. Like, sure, it'll take some time to regulate. And it was maybe towards the end of the month, we were just getting ready to leave for the winter, and my husband was like, like, you think you're pregnant? Like, your chest kind of seems bigger than normal. And I was like, no, that's not possible. There's no way. And I had just went and sauna'd with some friends in the evening, and I was like, oh, I'll pick up a test right before, you know, afterwards. And I tested at night, like not really knowing. And I was dehydrated and chugging a ton of water, and it came back negative. So we were like, okay, we're good. We're in the clear. And then the next day we left for Puerto Rico for a family wedding for 2 weeks. And then we were like, we had rented our house out to a friend, because then we were planning on being away, like traveling out west, skiing and being in Vermont for a month for the holidays. And then he was going to build a bathroom for his sister out in Washington. So we were like, okay, we'll kind of, you know, take our time out west and be out there for a little bit and come back in the spring for work. And yeah, so we went to Puerto Rico. Everything was fine. Maybe I was like a little crabby at times if I didn't eat enough, or especially traveling and being somewhere new, you don't really like hard to get food, certain food. And so we got back to Vermont like middle of the month, and we were staying at his grandmother's house, and we went I remember we woke up really early because it had snowed, and we went skiing with his dad, and I had eaten a banana like running out the door. And the first run, all I could taste was that banana. And I was like, I'm not feeling too well. I'm going to go sit in the lodge and read. And even then, like, I couldn't even sit there and enjoy anything. So I was like, I'm going to go lay in the car. And I texted them, and they were like, okay, we'll take one more run and be down. And I was just had to be like horizontal, couldn't deal with anything, and got back, basically curled up on the couch, took a nap. We did get COVID when we went to Puerto Rico. So I was like, maybe this is like a little like delayed, you know, kind of sickness from that. Or I just was like totally in denial. I didn't even think about it. And it wasn't until Fletcher's mom, she was like, you know, it kind of sounds like you have morning sickness. And I was like, no, like that makes no sense. There's no way. And his grandmother, she was just like, what did he do to you? Like, she knew, obviously, I'm sure everybody knew, but me. And it was like the next day or 2 days later, his mom came home with a pregnancy test, and the boys were out skiing. And she was like, you know, just to make sure. And I took it, and it was like instant, like, no doubt about it. Definitely pregnant. And I just came out of the bathroom, and I like started shaking, and I was like, I'm pregnant, and cried. And she just hugged me and was very supportive. And so that was exciting. And Fletcher came home from skiing and just was sitting there and was like, well, got some news. And it was an exciting moment. So yeah,
Wow, that is special to have everybody there and, you know, just that like family moment. It's sweet.
Yeah. Especially not like we weren't against having kids, but we just kind of, I think we're at the point of like, maybe we just can't and that's okay. And but yeah, so I think to have that happen kind of spontaneously, it was very exciting. Yeah.
Aw, and that's really interesting about your cycle and not having it for so many years, getting one cycle and like, okay.
Right. And I do think a lot of it, I've dealt with like kind of disordered eating, like orthorexia, and which I feel like a lot of more people deal with than we think, just that like healthy eating and all these diets and restrictive dieting. And I feel like that plays a, like our nutrition plays a really big part in our body's ability to function. And so I feel like I was getting in a good place with that as well. And I'm sure everything just lined up perfectly for that.
Yeah. So now after that, what were your thoughts then, sort of like when you're like, what to do next in choosing your care?
Yeah, that was kind of the big, we weren't home in Maine and I have no experience with birth and didn't really know like, what are the next steps? So of course I Googled it and it was like, oh, go to the doctors and get a blood test and ultrasound to confirm pregnancy. And since we were in Vermont, I just called the local like women's clinic at the hospital and they set me up to get a blood test. And it was, this was like December 22nd, right before the holidays. And so I think we had to wait till after Christmas to get the ultrasound, but the blood test was like, yep, numbers were really high. They thought I was like maybe 10 weeks already or something. And we went, right after Christmas and got the ultrasound. And we had called before because we didn't have health insurance and we were out of state. And we were like, I think we can go home. Like, I'm not sure if I had talked to Julie at Holly number 7 yet, but I knew we could like come home and get a cheaper ultrasound, or we knew how much it would cost. And the hospital was like, oh, it'll be like $200 or $300. And definitely a little nervous just with like the past history of not having my cycle and worried that, oh, maybe this wasn't real. So it was like very nerve wracking going in there. And when she first tested, or she did the ultrasound like on my belly and they couldn't see anything, that was really scary. And she ended up doing an internal ultrasound and he was there and they put us at about 6 weeks pregnant. So it was very exciting to know like, oh, I'm like, this is real. And it was great to like have the little photo to then share with family around the holidays. Cause then I went down to Massachusetts and saw my like close friends and family and it was early, but we were like, kind of hard to not tell them since we kind of had to change our winter plans anyways. So that was a nice, perfect timing for that. But it was, might've been like a couple months later and we got the bill and it was like $1,200 instead of three. Cause I guess they did two different ultrasounds, which they don't tell you. So that was like first negative experience with a hospital. And we had already known that we weren't too interested in doing a hospital birth. Yes. And at that time I reached out to a friend who had just given birth the year prior and her first birth, she went through the hospital and didn't have a great experience. And she ended up she actually transferred kind of late in her pregnancy to work with the women at Holly number 7, the midwives there. And I reached out to them and we did the consultation call over the phone since we couldn't really go that time. And I talked with Julie and it just sounded really, like a beautiful space and just really caring and just the type of place we wanted to be. Cause I knew I didn't want to be in the hospital, but also, wasn't sure if we wanted to do a home birth, just didn't know too much about anything at that time. So we decided to set up care with them. It was just like, okay, let's do this. Like, it seems like a good fit. And kind of explained with her, like, we're not really going to be around for the next couple months. Like, is that okay? And she didn't seem, she was like, there's really not much you do early on anyways. And we were getting back like right in time for 20, you know, the 20 week checkup. So we figured just we'll go with that. And I also called Sarah Tui, who's the acupuncturist in Southwest, and she is also a doula, so a birth doula. So reached out to her about being our doula, and she was, yeah, on board with that. So that was really exciting. And then from there, we just kind of, you know, spent a few more weeks, most of January in Vermont. And at that point, I was really sick the whole time, basically from that first day skiing and getting sick. I was just in bed and very nauseous and like forcing myself to eat because I knew it would make me feel better, and getting out in the cold and walking. And it was like the only time I felt really good was like outside walking, but it was so cold that time of year that I could only stay out for a little bit. So it was like a lot of napping and resting. But yeah, and we decided that I would not be going on the ski trip with Fletcher, and couldn't really come home since we were renting our house out. So Fletcher's parents live down in North Carolina most of the year, and we figured I'd go down there with his mom, and he'd do his little ski trip out west with his dad, and that was kind of our next step. We did stop back home for like 2 days so I could have an appointment with the midwives and go see the birth center and just kind of like meet them face to face and make sure it wasn't going to be a good fit. And yeah, they have a great spot up in Bangor, and yeah, Julie and Chris were both really awesome. So that was nice to like feel settled with that decision. And I met with Sarah and got some acupuncture for the nausea, and she gave me a bunch of tacks that I could take with me to North Carolina and had some care. And she actually found a really good acupuncturist down there who worked with pregnant women. So that was also really nice that she went out of her way to do that. But yeah, so then I spent 2 months down in North Carolina. No care really. Just at that point, I was feeling better. I would say around like 10, 11 weeks. The nausea kind of went away for the most part in the evenings. It was like every night after dinner, I would get pretty nauseous and just had to like go lay on the floor and stretch. And also in the morning, brushing my teeth. But other than that, like pretty good. Did a lot of hiking and swimming. And it was like a pretty mild winter down there for them. So it worked out really well not being here. It was hard being away from Fletcher at points, like especially with the hormones and just like feeling a little sad at like, and yeah, unsure at points of like, wait, what are, like, we're having a baby, what are we doing? Like, so it was tough at some points being separated from him. But I did at the end of that, like the end of his 2 months, I actually flew out west and stayed with him for a week, and we did like cross country skiing, and I saw a friend who had just moved out there as well. So that was nice to like take one more kind of trip before the baby came. And we flew back together to North Carolina and then drove back home early April. So we could, yeah, get back to work, and since we both work seasonally, and that was right around like 22 weeks, 21 weeks for me. So we decided to do the anatomy scan, the ultrasound for 20 weeks. And we were going to keep it. We wanted to find out what the gender was, but we were going to keep it a secret from everybody. But that week, like a couple days before, Fletcher's grandmother actually went into hospice, and we knew, you know, that was probably, she didn't have much more time. So we were like, oh, we got to, share it with her. And that we had called her right after. And it was the last conversation we had with her, but we were able to tell her we were having a boy. So she was pretty excited. So that was kind of a sweet moment that we were able to share with her. And but everything with the ultrasound was fine. Everything looked really good. So that was kind of a relief. Cause again, especially not seeing anybody for a few months. And even though I, they don't do much early on anyways, but it was just what's happening? He knew he was growing. Obviously I started showing so that was nice to get that over with. And we didn't do any much more testing.
Did you do your ultrasound at the birth center, or did you go to the hospital for that?
Yeah. So we went, the birth center has an outside ultrasound company come in every other week or so. And that was really much nicer setting and comfortable. And the woman was really great and, kind of talked us through what we were seeing. And that was, a good experience with that. Yeah. And basically we just went right into work season since we're kind of seasonal employees. And I was gardening and working in the greenhouse a lot, which was nice that spring. And we were just trying to stay really busy. And I did do the gestational diabetes test, which was fine. And just tried to enjoy summer as much as I could, knowing that it would be kind of my last time not being a mom. And I ended up working a lot more than I was hoping. My boss had some family stuff that she had to deal with, so she'd be gone for a week at a time every couple of weeks. And I'd worked for her for a while, so she kind of put me in charge of just managing the other employees. And it's a very small group of employees, so it was, and we're all kind of good close friends, so it was easy but also hard for me to delegate tasks. I'm more of just I'm just gonna do it. And but learning to delegate and not lift things and kind of try to take it easier. But it was good that it kept me moving and busy. And when I wasn't working, I was just swimming and really enjoying being outside, and floating was really nice in the ocean. So I'm really lucky we live in such a beautiful place for that.
Oh, it's so nice. So now, what kind of things did you do as a first-time mom preparing for a natural birth? What kind of things did you do to prepare your mindset for birth?
I did a lot of reading. They had, they have a really nice library there, or recommend a lot of books that you can find at your local library. And so just a lot of reading, a lot of podcast listening, your podcast, the Birth Hour podcast, the Free Birth Society podcast was a big one, even though I knew that wasn't going to be what we were doing, but it was just really inspiring and really empowering stories listening to that. Yeah. And I met you through the Village prenatal, which was really nice with Naya. And just trying to get information from all different, sources and other women, and don't have a lot of friends who have had babies so far. So it seems now within this last year, we have two friends who are pregnant. We also the day that I took my pregnancy test, Fletcher had got a photo of it, and he sent it to his good friend that he grew up with, and they live right down the road from us. And I was no, you can't, we're not telling people right now, it's too soon. And instantly his friend texted back a photo of a pregnancy test that was positive. So we knew they were trying. And so that was really exciting. And she was actually, she was like, we were like a week apart in due date. So we ended up having our babies within like the same month or like a month apart. So that was really nice. And yeah, had a really nice summer. It was pretty great weather. So I could just like work and then go swim in the ocean or the lakes after work and just float, which I found really helpful because I did like towards the end of my pregnancy, started to have a lot of lower back pain and like hip pain. So I did, I was seeing the osteopath like every month just to check in, and kind of when that was getting worse, I saw him a little more often to help with, yeah, just everything stretching and moving and the hips and yeah. But other, like overall, it was a really, I'm one of those women who really enjoyed being pregnant. And I mean, even now I'm like, oh, that was such, even, yeah, even though I know like, oh, it was annoying at points or just uncomfortable, I'm like, wow, that was a really sweet time and really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So now walk me through those kind of last few days, like leading up to your labor and then birth.
Yeah. So a week before I gave birth, my friends put on, I was like 36 weeks, and my friends put together a little mother's blessing. They called it Baby Earthside Party. And it was just really beautiful on my friend's property on the island with this like gorgeous tent and tapestries and really good food. Yeah, flowers. And they like, we just talked and kind of, they just, yeah, shared a lot with me and like gave me a beautiful oil massage and tattooed my belly with little big golden tattoos. And just, yeah, it was a really supportive event. Just, yeah, knowing that these women were here to support me through this time, which it was scary and exciting at the same time. But and I think only one of them, she had had, you know, my boss, she has two children, but other than that, they're, none of them really knew. So they even asked, like, you know, like, we're all new to this, like, what, like, you just let us know what we can do to support you, which was a really great thing to know that I could just reach out if I needed to, especially being in Maine and we don't have family that lives by close by. So it was good to know there was a community of people there for us. But yeah. And that next week, Monday, it was 37 weeks for me. I decided like, okay, this will be my last day of work. That way I can have some time to just slowly get things together. We did decide around 30 weeks that we would do a home birth, just, yeah, from listening to podcasts and just like thinking about what it really was that we wanted during labor. Just, yeah, thinking of driving an hour wasn't too appealing in the middle of labor. And yeah, even though the birth center is so beautiful and great, we're just like, well, kind of similar, like they give you the same care being at home. So with that being an option, we were just like, yeah, let's just be home. Then we don't have to drive home with a brand new baby the next day or whatever. And so that was kind of a exciting like decision we got to make kind of last minute. But yeah, so we decided on that, finished working that Monday. I had my 37 week appointment Tuesday. This was all the last week of July, and I did do the GBS testing and everything was looking good. The next day, Wednesday, I saw Sarah, got some acupuncture that afternoon, and decided to go for a swim with a friend. So I popped in her car, we drove down to the beach, and I got out of her truck and just like instantly like felt a little gush of something. And I thought maybe it was my water, but I was like, no, like it wasn't that big. Like I was picturing big flooding, like scene, and it was just like, maybe I like peed myself a little bit. So just like, just go hop in the ocean. And we swam and met another friend and hung out for a little bit on the beach. And it was like getting kind of late, and I kind of noticed that it kept happening. And I was like, maybe I am leaking. Maybe, you know, it didn't break all the way. I should probably like get home and figure this out. So I got back to my car, called Fletcher. He was still working. It was like 7 o'clock at this point or so. And he headed home right away. And I called Sarah, who just kind of told me to rest. And I did call my friend Terry. She was the one who moved out to Washington, like right when I found out I was pregnant. So, and she's like one of my like good support people. And I called on my drive home. And for some reason, once I heard her voice, I just broke down crying, sobbing. And I think she was alarmed because I couldn't say anything. And finally I was like, I'm going to have a baby, and just got really emotional for a little bit. And she was really supportive, and it was nice to talk with her and just kind of let some fear out. And I got home, I reached out to Chris, I texted her, and then she called me right back and kind of said the same thing as Sarah, just to, you know, take it easy and rest and eat some food. And of course I didn't do any of that because we felt so ill prepared. Not like we had most, they do come and do a like a home birth or home visit to make sure you have all the birth supplies that you need. And we had most of the stuff, but it was like an extra sheet to put on the bed and heating pad and food, like just certain things. So I like made a list. Fletcher ran out to do some shopping. I made dinner and just like in a frenzy, like cleaning the house and just kind of getting pillows and blankets and things that I thought I might need out. We probably got into bed around 10. I told Fletcher to go sleep in the other room because I wanted him to get some sleep, and I wasn't sure if I would get to really sleep much. So I maybe slept like 2-3 hours. But it seemed like contractions were kind of waking me up and getting a little annoying. So around 3 o'clock, I got up, and that's when I had a little bloody show. So I reached out to Chris, and she told me to start timing my contractions for a half hour and let her know what that was looking like. And that was, I think it was lasting a minute every 4 minutes. And so she ended up, I guess her and Jenna had just gotten off like back-to-back births the last few days. So they sent Julie and Aura over that morning. And I would say they got there around like 4:35 with Sarah. And I, at this point, I was definitely just kind of lost in the contractions, and I knew things were happening around me, but couldn't really place what was going on. And I do remember somebody saying like, oh, you're not going to be doing this all day. Like, it seemed like things had really picked up quickly. So, and since my water had broken, they weren't going to check just to minimize that risk of infection. And since I just had taken my GBS test like 2 days before, we hadn't gotten the results back. So they talked to me about antibiotics. And at that point, I just, you know, I wasn't too interested in that. So they got me right in the tub. And I spent about an hour there that morning. And then I just kind of moved back to the bedroom. I just basically stayed within my bedroom, bathroom area. And they did end up checking me like around 11 to see how things were progressing, and I was at a 5 at that point. And I, you know, I guess at that point I decided to do the antibiotics and then got back in the tub around noon. My friend Caroline had just taken our dog out for a walk, and I guess she came back and just kind of like marched into the bathroom, and Sarah like pulled her out and like checked with me to make sure it was okay having people come into my space. And I was like, oh yeah, like Caroline's totally fine. So she sat with me, which was really sweet. And it was just like, it was dark and we had candles going, and I just, yeah, I would like lay back and kind of rest and sleep in between every contraction, and then lean over the tub. Thankfully we have like a big corner tub in our bathroom, and so we didn't have to deal with a birth pool and keeping the water a good temperature. They did a really good job with that and definitely made it easier using our home tub. So yeah. And then after being there for another hour, I guess, I just went back to my bed and did a lot of like side lying, and then would go on the ground and on all fours. And that seemed to be the like most comfortable position for me. I know they tried, we did like peanut balls and birth stool, and I hated the birth stool so much. Like that was the worst. And they did like later in the afternoon try to get me into the shower with Fletcher and had like skin to skin contact with him in the water. And as soon as I got in there, I just needed to get out and like get on the ground. I didn't want to be standing, didn't want to be touching him, didn't want to be in the water. It was pretty horrible. So I just kind of back to the bed. And it, yeah, this is where I'm like, it just seems like a blur to me. I did meet with Julie, which was really nice to debrief everything. And like, she gave me my records of everything they kept track of. So it was kind of cool to see how things really played out in real time. But yeah, so I was also having a lot of acid reflux. Like it was basically every contraction after it ended, I would have like horrible heartburn. And Sarah did do some tacks and they did some homeopathic remedies for it, but just nothing was really staying down at that point. So I was just getting really tired and like hadn't eaten or drinking anything. So they did pull me out of the room like around 7 o'clock that night to see if I could like get things like really moving. And I was lunging and squatting, and yeah, we were doing some tinctures. And after like a few hours of that, I was pretty tired. So we decided go lay down, try to sleep if I could. I think contractions had kind of slowed down too, like spread apart a bit. So I slept. I don't know. Yeah. That was also kind of foggy. But they each kind of took turns laying with me and just like rubbing my back. And Sarah was amazing. Just, I don't know what it was about her touch, but she was just so comforting every time she like rubbed my back or like touched my shoulder. Just everything was like so comforting. It was really nice. And Julie really helped me with breathing into my contractions. I felt like I was kind of like trying to hide, like run away from them or like avoid them. And she was having me breathe into them. And that was really helpful and relaxing. And I definitely, yeah, was able to calm down a bit and get some rest that night. And then around 4 a.m., we were all kind of awake again and things had really slowed down. So my water broke on Wednesday evening, and this was Friday morning. So they wanted me to try pumping, where, you know, pump on one side for 15 minutes. I don't remember exactly, but like 10, 15 minutes, take a break, pump on the other side, tinctures. And they did check me again at that point around 4, and I was a 9. So like things had definitely progressed, but the contractions had really like spread apart and slowed down. So we did that for like 3.5 hours. And by 8 o'clock, after doing a few rounds of that, like things hadn't really picked up. So Julie was just, concerned. They were all kind of concerned with me being so tired and like pretty dehydrated that if, you know, things came to pushing, that it would be kind of hard for me. So they mentioned just going to the hospital up in Ellsworth and getting some fluids and a little Pitocin. And at that point, I mean, I knew like that was not what I really wanted. It was exactly what we didn't want. But, you know, Fletcher and I sat for a little while and just talked about it. And I think we were just, yeah, ready to meet our baby. And we, yeah, made that decision. Of course, we weren't prepared for a hospital transfer either. So we kind of took our time and showered, packed bags, made sure we had everything we needed. And Julie called ahead so that they were ready for us and hopped in the car. And of course, things seemed to pick up again really quickly. And Fletcher's just driving calmly, casually. And I'm like, Julie was in the car with us and Sarah followed. And I think Aura stayed behind to just tidy up the house. So we got there maybe around like 10 o'clock to the hospital. And just between like them dropping me off at the hospital doors and then dealing with registration and walking down the hallway, I was just like, I was kind of mad. Like I didn't want to be in the hospital. So I think I got really mad. And I was just mad about the whole situation. But and my contractions were just like really intense at that point, walking down the hallway and having this like sign all the paperwork. And I was like, why am I doing this? Like, I just want to get there. And finally got to the room and they put the belly monitor on and wanted to do like a 20-minute monitoring of him. And the main reason we went was just basically to get fluids and to get a little Pitocin. And but it took forever for them to come and like put an IV. I think it took over an hour for them to come and put an IV in. And then I did mention like, oh, I don't do very well with needles and stuff. And of course they have somebody who's practicing how to put an IV in. And I was just like, this is exactly what I didn't want. Like, and it took, you know, she missed. And so the other nurse had to do it. And that just kind of pissed me off. And just like then being strapped into the IV and the belly monitor, and I couldn't move the way I wanted to move without like pulling on things. And they were like crossed. Yeah. And across my body. And I was just so angry. And finally, after like that 20 minutes, I was like, I'm getting up and going. Like, I found that if I could get up and go to the bathroom, like I could take the belly monitor off. So I just like kept getting up and trying to move around so I wouldn't have to have that on. And we were only there for a couple, you know, I mean, I think he was born at 1:57. So we were only there for a short amount of time before I felt like I needed to poop. Like I was in the bathroom. I was like, I think I need to poop. And of course they're like, no, you just need to push. And they had only given me like a very little amount of Pitocin, I guess. I guess I didn't mention like when we left the house, I think I was either at an 8 or like a 9. She had checked me. So I was like pretty close, like to full dilation when we left the house. And so when that happened, the hospital midwife came in and was like, all right, get on the bed, let me check you. And instantly she was like, the baby's right there, you need to just push. And she had this energy that I did not like, and it was just so intense. And I felt like things just happened really fast. And like all of these nurses were in the room and they were like setting up like tug of war. So I would like pull on a sheet with another nurse and while they held my legs down. And I didn't want to be on my back. I didn't want to be in the bed. I thought she was just checking me, but it was like, oh, the baby's head's there. Like, you need to push him out now. And I was like, I just felt really rushed. And that was just like a weird, like didn't quite. And like, it was my first baby. Like, I didn't really quite understand pushing, like what that really felt like. And she, yeah. So it was just so intense and so just kind of loud, like nurses talking over, like standing over me, talking about, I remember them talking about this other woman who had a 4-degree tear. And the whole time I'm in this other world. I knew what was happening around me, but I knew what was happening around me, but I felt like I couldn't really say, like, I couldn't advocate, I couldn't say anything. Like, I just was so tired in between every contraction, or I was going through the contractions. So I couldn't say anything. And thankfully, like, Julie and Sarah were there. And finally, like, I think Julie was just like, hey, Shandy wanted it quiet during her labor. Like, if everybody could just kind of quiet down and like stop talking, like, especially how inappropriate the conversation was. So and I was like in this like crazy zone of like, all I could do was like push and then just like rest in between. And I knew like I did not want to be laying down. I wanted to get up, and I just couldn't voice that, my, you know, my feelings on that. And I like just felt like I couldn't move, like had the belly monitor on, one like wires are crossing one way, the IV's crossing the other way, like just felt kind of trapped almost in that situation. And the midwife, the nurse midwife, or the hospital midwife was just like stretching me the whole time, like had her fingers in me, stretching. And I was thinking like, what the frick are you doing? And Julia asked like, what are you doing? And like trying to get her to stop. And she was just like, go, go, go. Like, she, for some reason, wanted to get that baby out really quick. She was just like lubing me up and like stretching me the whole time I was pushing, and like, just like, oh, push here, push here. Like, kind of pulling on, you know, pulling down on me. And Julie again kind of questioned her, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? Like, what are you doing? And she was, you know, wanted to prevent tearing or whatever. And, but also like kind of like trying to force me to push this baby out really fast. And Julie was saying how she mentioned, I guess she was like, oh, this baby will be out in one contraction. And Julie was like, actually, like, you know, it could take hours, a couple hours, like, don't kind of put that in her head. And he did. So Finn ended up coming out, and like, and apparently I pushed, she came in the next day and was like, oh, you pushed him out in 10 minutes. And like, I was really psyched about that. And Julie was like, I think it was more like 20 minutes when we were talking the other day. But it did, like, everything just happened really fast. And yeah, like I said, I wanted to get up and move, and I just couldn't do that. And thankfully, Fletcher just kind of sat there next to me and held my hand. And yeah, they ended up, I ended up pushing him out while like Fletcher and one of the nurses were like helping kind of hold my legs in while I was in a squat. And I was seeing I remember like a little squirt come out and like almost hit the midwife in the face. And I was like, oh, that would have been so great. Like, I just wanted to kick her in the face the whole time. Sorry, that wasn't nice. But so he ended up coming out, and like Fletcher kind of guided him onto my belly. And I like instantly like grabbed him and like tried to pull him up to my chest. And the midwife was like, no, like there's no more cord. Like, you can't pull him up any further. And then she like instantly was like, there's too much blood. We got to cut the cord. And we wanted to delay cord clamping. And they did, like, it wasn't a super rush. They let Fletcher do it, but it was still kind of like, was that necessary? And even Julie was like, you weren't bleeding that. Like, there was no reason to cut the cord that quickly. Cause, and then my placenta came right, like, I don't even remember really pushing it out. It just kind of came right out as soon, like after the cord was cut, and maybe 5 minutes. I don't know. It didn't feel very long. And yeah, I don't know if the concern was blood, but then she was like, well, your baby needs to get up on your chest. And I'm like, oh. Yeah, I don't know. It was, and it was just a little, another thing I thought about that was annoying was the nurse is just like, has a towel and is like rubbing him off. Like I'm trying to pull him up and she's just like rubbing him off all over. And I'm like, why can't you just let him be how he is? Like, why, like, what is the big issue there? So, but yeah, so that was around, I think he was born at 1:57 PM that Friday, the 28th. And he was perfect. Everything was really good. And yeah, he was just so sweet. And you're just like in this, yeah, you kind of forget all the pain. And I mean, I had a little tear kind of going up and they did a little, like a little stitching, but even, I mean, that maybe was more painful than him coming. Like you kind of forget so quickly, like, oh, that didn't hurt at all. Even though in the moment you're like, yeah, the ring of fire and everything. So, but yeah, it is just an amazing moment to first meet your baby. And they did give us a good hour kind of to ourselves. So that was nice. And they did then, you know, take him and weigh him. And even though he was, yeah, 3 weeks early, 2.5 weeks early or whatever, he was like 6 pounds, 13 ounces. Like they were like, he is a full term baby. Like there's nothing to worry about. So that was a relief. And it was interesting to see, to find out that he had a really short cord. Cause afterwards, like debriefing with Sarah and Julie over the next couple of days, they were both saying how it's really common with like short cords, how that it kind of like slows labor down and like labor can be kind of going along steadily and then kind of slow down and get delayed. And it's your body's way and your like baby's way of protecting itself. So it's not pulling too fast. And so you don't have a really fast labor. And I guess there was a tiny lip on the placenta, which Julie said there was a little more blood than like while we were home and I was laboring, they did see a little more blood than they usually see. And it was just something that they noted and they monitored his heart rate a little more because of that, but he was always fine. So they weren't really concerned, but that might've been one of the reasons. So yeah, that was, yeah. But yeah, so he came out and it was, yeah, overall pretty good experience. It was a good experience, but not exactly what we envisioned. But
yeah, wow. So how was your postpartum? How's your like immediate postpartum? How, when were you able to go home?
So we ended up staying in the hospital for that 24-hour period. I did want to leave, but one of the nurses was like, oh, you know, sometimes with your health insurance, if you leave, they won't cover anything. And I was like, oh, like, and I was just like, oh, okay. And I think Fletcher heard that and was like, oh, like, you've got to stay. Like, and I think he felt more comfortable staying too. And I was just like, all right, like, that's fine. We'll stay. And so we stayed the night. Fletcher's parents that morning, they were in Vermont. They are in Vermont in the summers. They have a little camp. So they came rushing over that morning and they, you know, I think we had a good hour to ourselves and then they wanted to take him and weigh him and do all that stuff. So they ended up coming and bringing us food. And I think they brought me like a bag of grapes and a little quart of like raw milk. And it was like the best thing in the world to eat after that long, yeah, laboring. And we, yeah, just spent the night in the hospital. They ended up getting us like Sri Lankan takeout, which was also amazing that night. And they did, the nurses did come in like later that day, and they needed to take some blood from him. And I guess the phlebotomist came and was like, oh, I need to draw blood. And I was like, for what? Like, she didn't really tell me more. And she was like, oh, I guess when they took some blood from the cord for whatever testing, it was contaminated. So they needed to draw some more blood. And I was like, well, can that wait till later? And she was like, no, like, let me go get one of the nurses. And the nurse had to like explain everything. And I was like, okay. And because she had told me like, oh, it has to be an adult needle. And I was like, what does that even, like, you're not explaining anything. What does that even mean? And they ended up doing like a foot, you know, pricked his foot with this huge needle and trying to get like vials and vials of blood from his little foot. And he's just screaming. And I was just like, so horrified. And finally the nurse was like, I don't think you're going to get any more blood out of, like, she barely like filled up one vial. And thankfully the nurse like called it, but yeah, so that was kind of annoying. And then just that whole night, it was people coming in and checking on you and like giving me pills and not really even telling me what they are, like stool softener and Tylenol. And I was like, I don't really need any of these things. Like, I feel okay. It was a little annoying, like getting woken up every couple hours at night and then checking on the baby and like having to have the baby in the little bassinet away from me. Or, you know, if I had him in bed with me, they kind of were like, oh, I can't do that. So it was nice to like finally get out of there. It took longer than 24 hours because they just like had a bunch of births that next day. Like, a lot of women were in labor. So we were kind of left alone, which was nice, but also took forever to get out of there. So we ended up getting back later that Saturday. And yeah, just we were able to finally like get in our own bed and settle in and be a family. And, you know, Fletcher's mom made us some good food. And yeah, it was nice to just feel settled at that point, kind of be back to where we wanted to be. But yeah, he latched really well right away. Like, breastfeeding was really good. If anything, I maybe like overproduced. And so trying to navigate that, because he would just kind of get choked out every time. And my letdown was really strong. And that was kind of hard because I felt like I was doing something wrong and I didn't quite understand. But we kind of figured that out after a few weeks. But yeah, it was nice to come home and like be in our own space again. And we had a meal train set up. We kind of did that while I was in the hospital because I hadn't gotten to set that up prior. So got that set up, and a lot of friends and just people in the community brought food by and lent a lot of support, because yeah, both of our families don't live up here. So it did feel a little isolating at points. And I think, you know, we were thinking he was coming, you know, mid to late August. So, and that's like busy summer tourist season. So our family, like my parents and his parents, had rented places like later in August to be here. And just timing wise, everything was a little earlier. So, but it was nice to know, like, okay, like a month from now, like my mom and aunts are coming up and I'll have that support then. So it was nice to have that time planned out, and yeah, have my dad come up. And it was really good to, yeah, just have everybody around. I did think I wanted like more alone time in those early weeks, but I found having the support and people around, not too much, but during the day, was really nice to, and Fletcher thankfully was able to have the first 2 weeks off with me of work, which was really nice for him to be home. His parents could only stay a couple days because they actually had his grandmother's memorial, like celebration of life, coming up like in a couple days. So they had to get back to Vermont for that. So we were pretty solo, I'd say, that first week. And we did thankfully set up a meal train, which was really helpful because, you know, I thought, oh, I'd like prep all this food and freeze stuff. And yeah, with him coming early, just did not have time to do any of that. So it was really amazing to like see all the different people in our community and our friends like really show up for us at that time. Yeah. And I think so normally with the midwives, they will come like the next day. But since we were in the hospital, Julie ended up coming back, you know, Sunday, 2 days after, and just, you know, did a little check-in, weighed him, made sure, you know, breastfeeding was going well. Yeah. And Sarah came back in that first week too to check in. And she was a huge, like one of the best support people to have afterwards, because I mean, I feel like postpartum went pretty well for me. Like we didn't have a ton of issues but emotionally, like, yeah, there's just so many hormones and you like can be so happy and just excited and so in love in one moment and then just in tears and crying and not even like bad tears, but just like even just happy tears or yeah, it was just like a roller coaster of emotions at first. You know, I want to say like first 2 or 3 months for me. So it was really nice to know, like I had Sarah to reach out to, because she always really knew what to say and had really good advice. And like when I was like really doubtful about my abilities of being a mom or just whatever the situation was, she was just so supportive. And that was really great to have that resource. Yeah. And, but other than that, it was just really nice to, yeah, rest or try to rest. That is always, that's hard for me, especially we had, you know, we had family come and visit. So it would be like, we have a week to ourselves and then we'd have family for like 5 days or so visiting. And then we have another week and then other, you know, some other family, like my parents would visit or his parents. And so it was nice to kind of have breaks in between to rest. But I noticed like when people weren't there and especially when Fletcher went back to work, it was really hard for me to rest and not do too much. And that's when I noticed like that anxiety and depression kind of popped up, was when I was like pushing myself too much. So kind of had to keep that in mind. But yeah, and I think it was really nice having a baby in the summer, even though everybody's like, oh, it's a bummer when you're pregnant and it's hot. And it's like, oh, but then you can swim and just float and like not have to wear a bunch of clothes, like layers and everything. And then also just having your baby in the summer, like to be able to go outside and like hang out in the shade and not be feel like trapped in my house and or just have the windows wide open and like really be able to enjoy that. It helped me feel not like I can rest and be home but not feel too cooped up. So that was really nice.
Well, so now as a final question, if you were to give advice to an expecting mom or even new parent, what would be the biggest thing that you would want to say?
I guess, I mean, it's good to have some idea of like what your dream birth may be and how you want things to go, but not to hold on to any of the, like, don't have any strong expectations. Because I felt like that was something I dealt with a lot, like early postpartum, just feeling really defeated almost. And I felt bad about myself. Like I felt like it was my fault that we ended up in the hospital and it wasn't like I wasn't trying hard enough or I wasn't laboring right and wasn't strong enough or just knowing like things are going to go the way they go and it's okay. And it's okay to be upset as well. That was something Sarah said, like, like you are valid in your feelings and like, yes, the baby's good and you're healthy and everything is good, but also it's okay to be upset about that as well. So yeah, I think it's okay to, yeah, plan ahead and want a certain thing to happen, but not to get too wrapped up in those feelings. And yeah. And also I felt like reading a lot and listening to like your podcast and the Birth Hour podcast and just listening to birth stories was really helpful, especially as a first-time mom and not having a lot of friends with children and really understanding what the experience, and you won't really understand what the experience is like until you go through it, but it's, yeah, it's really helpful to kind of listen and read and just kind of do all those things prior. So, and you know, they tell you, you need all this different stuff to have a baby, like babies need this and that. And it can get pretty overwhelming. And, you know, after having one, you're just realize babies don't need a lot of things. And you end up with this stuff kind of sitting around. And I found that more overwhelming than helpful. And we were pretty good at like asking people to get things used or kind of secondhand. And so obviously you need certain things when you have a baby, but if you can find those things secondhand or, you know, kind of do a more minimalist registry, I'd recommend that. And then if you have the resources, or instead of having people get you stuff for a baby shower, if you can like set up a postpartum fund or a doula fund, like I find that that would be way more helpful for you and for your baby to have that resource of, and like I said, I loved having Sarah there for just so many different reasons. And I think Fletcher did, like, I think it was really helpful for him, like being a first time dad and going through that labor process. And yeah, but also like in that postpartum period to like have, you know, a fund of whatever you may need, like, oh, acupuncture, or maybe your baby needs to go see a chiropractor or an osteopath. Like maybe they have a hard time latching. Like we had really just like a little latching, like he didn't like turning one way. So we did see the osteopath and that was really helpful for us. So, and I know those things can be really expensive. So instead of having, you know, people buy you all this stuff that you maybe use once or twice and like set up a postpartum fund, I think that would be a better use of your resources and other people's resources. And yeah, and just so you can make sure you have the support you need afterwards. And like a postpartum doula, like I kind of wish we had hired one, had had that option even for the times when, you know, Fletcher went back to work and then I was kind of solo early on. And it would have been nice to, yeah, have just somebody pop in for a couple hours one day and like hold Finn while I showered or, yeah, made food. And that would have been really nice. So, and I did have a friend who came kind of like 2 months in and she was like a prime example of like the best, like what a birth or a postpartum doula should be, just like had, just was spot on with everything and just like deep. I mean, maybe more than what a postpartum doula would do, but yeah, if you had a friend even that you felt really close with and who really knew you and could just like, yeah, clean your house and like make sure the stroller was packed if you're going out on a walk and like had your smoothie ready for you, just those little things really are, yeah, found them meaningful and really helpful in that time. So, cause you're just so focused on the baby and your healing and it is really such a healing time. So yeah, reaching out and getting support when you need it is really important.
Yes, that is a great point. Support, not stuff. So
yeah.
Oh my gosh. So thank you so much, Shandi, for sharing your story today and for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's the end of another episode of the My Main Birth podcast. Thank you for joining me and listening. If you're looking to document your birth story, or if you're interested in doula support for your upcoming birth, head over to my website, mymainbirth.com, and check out my packages. I'm a certified professional birth photographer and an experienced doula, and I offer in-person services to families throughout the state of Maine, as well as virtual birth coaching worldwide. I want to invite you to grab my top free resource for newly pregnant moms. It's called 37 Questions to Ask Your Care Provider. Whether you've already established care or if you're in the process of interviewing new providers, this is for you. Not only are you going to get the questions to ask, but I also share how to assess their answers and the major red flags that you should be looking for. So go grab that. It's at mymainbirth.com/download. Thank you again for tuning in, and I look forward to bringing you more amazing birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and leave me a review, and I'll see you back here again next week.